just real quickly, you don't have to turn to these scriptures here, but in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, I want you to see there's a common phrase that's mentioned here about the subject of faith. And I made mention of the fact a few weeks ago that as I was praying, I felt like the Lord just gave me some fresh revelation about the subject of faith and really encouraged my spirit. And I felt like He wanted me to share this with y'all. Amen. How many of you know it's impossible to please God without faith? Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please the Lord without faith. So really, that's the only avenue that we can really please God, and that's through the avenue of faith. And what is faith? It's trusting what He said. Amen? And you trust what He says, that means you have faith in what He has and what He said in His Word. Amen? But notice here it says, behold, his soul which is lifted up shall not is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now go over to Romans, Joshua, real quick here, and I want you to see this phrase again in Romans 1:17. It says this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's say that part. The just shall live by faith. Now, the word just simply means righteous, okay? And when you see the word just or righteous, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, that's talking about you. You could actually insert your name in there. The righteous shall live by faith. Now, someone says, well, I hope that I'm righteous. I hope that one day when I go to heaven, I'll become righteous. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you're not righteous on the earth, you cannot go to heaven. Okay? Now, a lot of people have a misconception because they think to be righteous means that means you never miss it, you never fall short. No, righteousness is a gift, okay? Just like you were either born a man or a woman, okay? You didn't do anything to make yourself a man or a woman. You were born that way, correct? When you became a Christian, when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that's just simply saying, Jesus, I need you as a Savior. At that moment, when you made Jesus your Lord, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you have right standing with Almighty God. That's pretty good news. How about it? Best news I've heard this morning. And so the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. Now go, Josh, to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, real quick here. And I want you to see this phrase again. But no man is justified by the law or keeping the law in the sight of God, for it is evident the just shall live by faith. Now, when God says something over and over and over again, and there's 4 times that He uses this phrase, it must be pretty important. Are you with me? But He said the just shall live by faith. And then finally in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, there it is right there. Notice it says, now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now God is not saying you'll lose your salvation, you'll go to hell. He just says simply here that my soul, I can't have pleasure in that because God wants to be trusted. Amen? Now, is He any different than us? Wouldn't it be crazy if your son or your daughter or your family member came up to you and said, you know, I love you, but I don't trust a word you say. How would that make you feel? That's insulting, isn't it? Right? And it's insulting to God when we don't believe what He says. All right? So it's important to look at it from that standpoint because the biggest thing that gives pleasure to God is when we believe Him. Yes. We trust Him. Because that's how you're made righteous, by faith. You know, you can't work for your salvation. Do you know that? You can't go to church enough times. You can't do enough good deeds. I wish I would have known that growing up. See, because the church that I grew up in had attendance pins. You've probably heard me share this before. And I grew up United Methodist, you know. Now, they didn't preach salvation in the church. It was all works and stuff like that. But I saw a fella when I was just a youngster. I was about this tall. And I saw a guy that had pins from here, and these are little tiny pins, and they're all connected. And each pin represents perfect attendance for 1 year. Okay? And it was this long, and the pin is only this big. It's really small, and there's a little attachment to it. And I saw him. In fact, you could hear the guy walk. And when you're a little kid, that makes an impression on you. You're like, Dad, what is, Mom, what is that? Oh, that's a perfect attendance pin. Well, in my little mind, I'm thinking at that time, I'm thinking, if anybody's going to go to heaven, it's this guy. He's in church even when the church mice aren't there. You know what I'm saying? He's there thick and thin. Now, folks, it's good to go to church, isn't it? But going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in a garage makes you a Ford. Okay? What makes a person a Christian is what they make Jesus the Lord of their lives. That means, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I've missed it. Because we've all sinned, haven't we? Well, at that moment, you become the righteousness of God in Christ. And he says the just four times, the just shall live by faith. Okay? Now, what I want to talk about today in the time left that we have is I want to talk about how your faith can develop and how your faith can grow as a believer. Amen? Now, the scripture talks about that there's different types of faith. There's weak faith, strong faith, shipwrecked faith, genuine faith. There's different types of faith that are in the Bible. And most of the time, when Jesus would marvel at their faith, they didn't even know that they were being strong in faith. Amen? And but I want to show you that this is an attainable thing for you and I here. What is the day today? March the 8th, 2015. It is an attainable thing for me and for you to have develop our faith and literally to become great in faith in the areas of our life in this earth. Are you with me now? And I want to show you how to do that. Go over it with me to Romans, the 10th chapter. Now, I want you to approach this as if it's the first time, because I know that some of you in here, you've heard faith for many, many years, okay? And like me, there's a tendency that when we've heard something preached, that there's a tendency sometimes to kind of turn a deaf ear to what's being said because we think, well, we already know that, okay? And that's the time that we can really miss it, because when you keep your heart open and your mind open and you have a teachable spirit, you can learn some new stuff. Amen. So, how do we grow in our faith? We see a scripture here that's very familiar in Romans, the 10th chapter, starting in verse 13. I want you to see this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say whosoever.
Whosoever.
Now, what's a whosoever? Somebody described it like this. What's a whosoever? Everybody won't. Anybody can. And somebody will. Everybody won't. Anybody can. Somebody will. Pastor, you just confused me. Write it down and take it home and you'll see what I'm talking about. Everybody won't. Anybody can. But somebody will. So I decide today I'm going to be a whosoever. Just the same whosoever in John 3:16, that whoever calls up, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a choice on our part. Amen?
Amen?
See, living by faith is not a feeling. It's a choice. When we ceased, and I saw this within myself even, that when we cease, and it's a daily decision that we have to make. Do you know that it's a daily decision? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Or let me put it to you this way. We walk by faith and not by the five senses. Because your body, how many of you, your physical body has a choice? It has a voice. When you wake up in the morning, your body will say, I don't feel like doing that. Somebody cuts you off on the road, you know, you want to do something in the flesh, right? Your body has a voice. And we have a choice, and the choice, if we walk by faith, I can tell you this, that when you choose, the happiest people in the earth are the people that choose to walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Because when you walk by faith and not by sight, you're not moved by what you see, you're not moved by what you hear, you're moved by this book right here. Because that's your outcome. That's how it's going to turn out.
Amen?
Amen? Someone said it like this, I didn't ask my body how I felt, I told my body how to feel. Praise God. Now, for some of us, that goes over our heads, but, you know, we'll get into that. When you walk by faith, You're making a choice to walk by the Word of God. Okay? Isn't that what church is all about when it really comes down to it? Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. You can come to church and have a fancy, flowered sermon with all the frills and all the hoopla's and everything else. You know what I'm saying? In a sermon. But at the end of the day, did it make any sense? And can you apply it to your life when you walk out these doors Monday through Saturday? That's what's important, isn't it? And I always want to be really cautious and very careful that when I share something, that it's applicable, that you can apply it wherever you're at. Do you know your faith will save you from sin? It'll save you from hell. That's the greatest miracle that there is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your faith will fill you with the Holy Ghost, give you a brand new language in the Spirit. Your faith will heal your physical body. Your faith will change situations. Oh, it's awesome. You know, we're not going to get into this today, but you know in Hebrews chapter 11, we call that the Hall of Fame of Faith. You know how they had the Baseball Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame, right? Well, who's in the Hall of Fame? All the best, okay? Somebody that didn't produce, they're not in there, okay? They're wannabes, okay? But in the Hebrews chapter 11, this is the Hall of Fame of Faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. And it goes on to list. And there's over 20 times. It's interesting. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, so-and-so. By faith, so over 20 times, it's the words by faith are used.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Think about that. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, through faith, by faith, by faith, through faith, by faith, by faith. I'm tired of hearing that. Now listen. God is trying to get something across here in the book of Hebrews. It's by faith that we possess what God has already promised us. Do you know that you got the biggest miracle, and I'll say this again, the biggest miracle, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, that's the greatest miracle that there is. Going from darkness to light. He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That's the greatest miracle that there is. And yet you can't even see it with a natural eye. If you're a Christian, you're wall to wall Holy Ghost on the inside.
Hallelujah.
That means God, the person of the Holy Ghost, lives on the inside of you. You're not alone. When I was going to Bible school, E.T. came out. And before it came out, remember the movie E.T.? Some of us remember that. Extraterrestrial. And the caption to that movie was, "You're not alone." Right? Remember that? This dates some of us, doesn't it? But I remember 1982 or 83 when this came out. And I thought about that. We're not alone. Amen? As a matter of fact, how many of you saw the movie E.T.? Now, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here. Okay. It'll take you back here. Let's go back upstream a little bit here. You remember when E.T., he was an extraterrestrial being from another planet. Can't even say it right. And he started to get weak. Do you remember that? Because he's from another planet. So what was his solution? Phone home. Remember that? E.T., phone home. Somebody thought you'd never hear this in church today. And so what happened is he got a phone and he got connected to his planet. And what happened? Strength came back into him. Okay? Well, what's our phone home? We talk to God. Amen? The red phone. We go right to the throne of God. We talk to God. We fellowship with Him. And what happens is we get strength where we were weak before. The only weakness that I have in my life or you have in your life is a failure to connect with God in prayer. Because if you're connecting with Him by faith in prayer, because it's by faith that we go before Him, you don't just, I feel like God's a million miles away. No, He's right there. He's right there. You have access to His throne. One of the biggest surprises you'll see that when you get to heaven and you're before the throne of God, you'll think, I've been here before. Been here before. That's right, because the Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Spiritually, you are already there. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? That's pretty good for daylight savings, isn't it? You're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. One time we were taking a trip. We were going to a conference, I think it was, and we were 35,000 feet up in the air like they fly on those big aircrafts, you know, and I'm looking out and I'm thinking, I'm looking down, I see stuff, you know, just looks like that big, you know, and see whole cities from the top, you know, and within myself, I'm thinking, wow, Lord, we're so high up. And in my spirit, he said, no, you're not. That's nothing. He goes, you're seated with me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ah, okay, I get that. Okay. You see, the higher you're up, the more perspective you have. Okay? When you're high in space, when you're higher up and you're up out of the Earth's atmosphere and you can see the tilt of the Earth, you can see a whole lot more coverage than if you were closer to the Earth. Because your perspective changes. You're looking at now not just the state, you're looking at the entire country. And as you get up higher, you're not just looking at the country, you're looking at countries. And you're seeing this Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean and the Gulf all at one time. It's all on your perspective. Are you with me? And so, in Christ Jesus, we've been raised up to sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is so important that we understand this. So, I had you turn to Romans, didn't I? Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now notice the context of the spoken word, the preacher. That's what we're doing today. We're speaking the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." Notice it's called the gospel of peace. The gospel of shalom, wholeness. You know, it's not just the Hebrew word for, hey, what's up? How you doing? Shalom. Hello. It means wholeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. That's for you. We are going to see, we are entering into a season in this church where starting today, we are going to start to see more of the miraculous. Miracles, signs, wonders, healings, manifestations of the Spirit of God. This will be an opportunity, a great opportunity for you to bring some people with you, especially if they don't know the things of God. Okay? We're not going to spook them out, freak them out, or anything like that. Holy Spirit's going to touch them. Holy Spirit's going to minister to them. And I know that by the word of the Lord. I wouldn't say that any other way because a copycat heard somebody else. No, I heard it in my spirit. Okay? You're going to start seeing, we're going to start seeing more manifestations of His presence, of His glory, and of His power. And I receive that. How about you? It's time. It's time. Now's the time. Father, now's the time for us to receive the miraculous, the power of God like we've never seen before, the supernatural. The gifts of the Spirit, the utterance gifts, the power gifts, the revealed gifts, Lord, the revelation gifts. And we open up our hearts, Lord, to receive that. For You said that we can covet earnestly the best gifts. So, Lord, You wouldn't ask us to covet something that we can't have. And so we thank You for the manifest presence of Almighty God. Amen. Okay. Verse 15, "How shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Verse 16, "But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed thy report?" Okay. He's quoting Isaiah 53 right there. He said, "Lord, who has believed our report?" Now look at verse 17. Here's what I want you to focus on right here. "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Can we say that together? "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So our subject today is, how do you increase your faith? How do you develop your faith? All right. How many of you here, first of all, you want to become stronger in your faith? Amen. See, whether we're strong or weak in faith depends more upon us than it does upon God. Because God's already given us the means whereby faith can come. So whether I'm weak in faith or strong in faith is really up to me. And if I'm weak in faith, I can't point the finger at anybody else. Can't blame the wife, can't blame the kids, can't blame situations. But I have to point the finger at me and say, you know what, I'm responsible. If I don't have faith, it's because I'm not doing what I need to do to get faith in my heart, praise God. Now, I'm telling you, faith is a powerful thing. Yes. It saved you from hell. It'll heal your body. It'll put money in your pocketbook. It'll give you a good relationship. Faith will do amazing things. The Bible says that faith is like the size of a grain of mustard seed. That's how small it is. You don't need a whole lot of faith to make a mountain move in your life. All it takes is a little speck of faith, and it has so much power in it to change situations. Okay, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the what? All right. Now, I want to say something. It's sometimes if you see the opposite of what the Scripture says, you can get a better understanding of what this verse is saying. Let's look at it this way. How many of you know that fear is the opposite of faith? All fear is faith in the wrong thing. So you get a thought, a fearful thought that comes to you that, you know, you're going to die of some dreaded disease. It just amazes me, to be honest with you, to see, like, compared to when I was growing up, the commercials that they have now, they're all about drugs. Do you notice that? They're pushing drugs, you know, that, you know, for every commercial. There's some stations that they have good shows on, but then every commercial is about some dreaded, you might have this disease. Here are the side effects. This might help you, but, you know, read the fine line at the bottom. Premature death is one of the symptoms, the side effects. We are in a society that more than ever before, you know what, that's why there's a mute button on your clicker. And if something like that, don't just let that come in one ear and drop down. Because I'm telling you what, those commercials like that, what do? They put fear. I just heard one the other day. I was passing something, and I heard it and said, you know, that this thing's causing more cancer than anything now, and da-da-da-da-da, and all this. And you might be one of those people, you know. I said, nope, not me, you know. But see, what's going on is the atmosphere, there's words that are being thrown out there, and there's seeds. How many of you know that words are seeds? Now pay very close attention. This is so important because the words that you hear from other people, even well-meaning people sometimes, that love to talk about sickness and disease, sometimes you just have to walk away from situations because you have to protect your heart. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, you know, take heed to what you hear. Jesus said that. Take heed what you hear. In other words, be selective about what you hear, mm-hmm. because what you hear with these ears will affect the condition of your heart. Now, it's hard to have faith for healing when all a person has heard is doubt, fear, and unbelief, and what if this happens, and what if that happens. See, we have to rid those things out, okay? We have to have a spring cleaning, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about? And get those things out of your ugly closet, those things inside of you that are like putting doubt and fear and unbelief, and you say, you know what, I'm getting rid of that right now, okay? Did I make myself clear enough? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing the words of the devil. Okay? Fear is produced the same way. What you hear affects your heart. And what affects your heart affects your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth will literally control your whole life. Okay? Do you believe that? Not just because you believe that, but that's what the Word of God says. We have to be careful. We don't want to just formulate a belief system based on what Pastor Key said or so-and-so said, we want to base our belief system on what does thus saith the Word of God say.
Amen.
What God says in His Word is the truth. Thank you, Lord. So, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, faith leaveth by not hearing the Word of God. You know, sometimes people mean well. They say, Pastor, can you pray for me? Pray. Sure, honey, what is it? Pray for me that I'll have faith. Well, first of all, I can't pray for a person to have faith. Because if I could pray that for you, I'd pray that for me. If I could just pray one time and have all the faith in the world, that would be great. But faith can only come by one avenue. That is by hearing the Word of Jehovah. By hearing the Word of God. Now, I have a minister acquaintance friend of mine that made some CDs that were basically, all it was some background music and healing scriptures. Okay? And this minister would read scripture after scripture, and they were all scriptures, in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, that had to do with the subject of healing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this guy had said that there had been many, many instances. In fact, one of the worst case scenarios was there was somebody that was in a coma, okay, and they couldn't respond in the natural. But how many of you know that if a person is in a coma, they can still hear, they just can't respond? They can still hear. And so this person had a daughter that took one of those CDs, brought a tape recorder in, stuck it in her hospital room, and played that thing 24/7, just over and over again. And you know, that person came out of that coma and was miraculously healed.
Amen.
And that's the word. That's a person in a coma. You would think can't even hear this stuff. How much more someone that actually can hear and can respond and listen to what's being said? Well, the Word of God, when it's going into your heart, into your life, can literally change your physical body. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 that His Word is life to those that find them and health and medicine to all their flesh in Proverbs chapter 4. He said, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my saying. Let them, my words, not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and medicine and health and healing to all their flesh. Say, all their flesh. Is your hands flesh? Is your legs flesh? Is your arms flesh? Is your brain flesh? Is your chest, lungs, flesh? The Word of God is medicine to all your flesh. Well, Brother Keith, you know, I just don't have enough time. I got this to do and I've got that to do. All right. You like to fail then, right? I'm just playing the devil's advocate now. Because if I don't have time to hear the Word of God, then I have time for lack of faith. And if I have time for lack of faith, that means I will be defeated in the circumstance that I'm trying to overcome. Folks, really, when it comes down to, listen to me very carefully, we don't have a problem with our bodies. We don't have a problem with finances. We don't have a problem with relationships. You know what our problem is? A word problem. Because if we have sufficient word coming on the inside of us, that word will become flesh. The word became flesh and manifested in the natural. The Word of God is spiritual, but when you plant it in your heart and in your mind, it will produce in the natural. Because real victory doesn't start in the flesh, it starts in the spirit realm. Amen? Now I'm speaking from a little bit of experience here, okay? I've been walking with the Lord since 1976, really 1979, okay? And I've had my share of ups and downs, made my mistakes and everything else, but I've always endeavored to walk as closely as I possibly can with the Lord. And the Lord has helped me through His Word just by making deposits in my heart. I've seen the Lord come through for me in every single realm. Time and time again. It's amazing to me because you can experience a miracle, a provision or whatever, and then a month or two later, the same type of need comes up, and you're thinking, I wonder what's going to happen this time. If he did it before, he will do it again. That happened to the disciples. Jesus fed the multitudes, thousands, supernaturally. And then the very next day, they're in a boat going across the lake. And he could see, Jesus perceived that they didn't have faith. And they're beginning to think, you know, we forgot to bring food for us for our lunch today. The day after, a miracle took place where he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, okay? The day after. And Jesus said this, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We can tend to forget, right? God does something for us, and then a week later we're like, oh. Do you think that we're going to exhaust God's grace? Absolutely not. There's enough resources from heaven to supply you for a million lifetimes plus. That's our Father. And I shared in our last video, in fact, we'll have it up this week, the last week's video. We're going to put it on our website so you can go back and access that again. But I talked about the bigness of God. Do you remember that? And that's just big on the inside of me, the bigness of God, because when we understand how big God is, the Bible says he created the heavens with the span of his hand, with his fingers, and Psalm chapter 8. That's from this point to this point that he spread out the heavens with the span of his hand, like just like that. That's how he did it. That's how big our God is. Okay? And when we see in our perspective, this is all about perspective, when we see how big God is, it will give us the right perspective about the problems and the challenges that we all face. How many of you here have some challenges in your life? Just raise your hand. Some kind of a challenge, physical challenge, financial challenge, relational, job challenge. Amen. Husband challenge, wife challenge. No hands, please. But you know what I'm trying to say. You got challenges in your life. But if we stop and think about how big God is, remember I shared that scripture in Acts chapter 4 that when they prayed in the book of Acts, when they were threatened by the Sanhedrin not to speak or preach anymore in the name of Jesus because a man was healed from his mother's womb, never walked before, and Peter and John ministered healing to him, he got delivered and stood right up and leaped and walked, went into the temple praising God. He was healed for the first time in his life. Thousands of people got saved as a result of it. Well, that made the religious people really ticked off. And they commanded them. They said, we command you not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. See, the name of Jesus is a threat to the devil. The power of God is a threat to the devil. So they went back to their own company. Amen. That's the local church. Amen. How many of you, when you get in trouble, you need your own company. You need your own company. That's what the local church is all about. That we get strength and we get faith and we get prayer from one another. We can help each other. That's what church is all about. That's why this group that we're starting here is, it's a place not only get the word there, but it's a place of fellowship, of interaction with each other too. Because that's important too, isn't it? It's important to have interaction with one another, to learn. We can grow from one another and learn. So we can see here that they came back to their own company and they reported to all the people. Here's what they said. And here's what they prayed. And it's interesting because in the book of Acts, there's several places where it says that they just prayed, but it doesn't say what they prayed. It just, we know that they prayed. But in Acts chapter 4, there's actually a recorded scripture that says exactly how they prayed. And the essence of what they prayed was, Lord, Thou art God. Thou art God. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything within. Now, I read that some time ago, and I'll say it again, just like it did on the video, that they prayed and they said, Lord, you're the God that made the heavens, the earth, and the seas. Let me ask you about those three things. Are any of them small? The heavens. That's as vast, it never stops. It keeps going. When God said, let there be light, that light is still traveling. They're discovering new universes. There's no end to it. Someone said, well, there's a wall out there. Yeah, but what's beyond the wall? Well, I don't get that one. Don't try to grasp it with this thing right here. You just have to. God's a vast. And he said, you are God. You have made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is within. And then when they prayed, the place, the building that they were at was shaking under. It wasn't an earthquake. God shook that place and answered their prayers. Think about that. Now, I'd never heard anybody preach on that before, but you can have the Holy Ghost preach to you. And I was reading that one time, and I saw it. It was like instantly in a moment, I saw it. Because I was dealing with some stuff, man. I was dealing with this problem and this problem, you know. And sometimes you can just get so caught up in trying to put out fires. You ever do that? Put one fire, there's another fire. Put that fire, and you're running back and forth, you know what I mean? But God wants you to get out of that. Amen. And start realizing, whoa, God's a big God. Amen. He made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is within. And the same God that made those heavens is the same God that cares for me. He's going to answer my prayer. So what's the key? Look up and look out. Look around you and see how big creation is. You know, this was not some big bang that took place. Now, maybe there was a bang involved, but God spoke it. I saw a bumper sticker that said, you know, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God spoke it, and bang, there it was. This wasn't no mistake. Listen, if the moon was just a few inches closer to the earth, we would be flooded out. The heavens and the universe and the solar system is so precise. It's so precise. Your body. Your Bible says that you're fearfully and you are wonderfully made. The way your body functions, the way your heartbeat, the way your blood flows through there. You think that was a mistake or an accident or some amoeba that climbed up out of the ocean and just became something? It takes more faith to believe that. But see, we're talking about a living Savior, a living Christ, big God, small devil, big God. Small problem. Amen? I'm sorry, but I can't be like the preacher on the Little House on the Prairie today and something real, say something real flowery and something like, this is big on the inside of me. Do you understand that? I say, like, what are you talking about? Here, your typical minister. Lord, bless you today. Be blessed today. Go home. No power, nothing. Okay? First, 2 Thessalonians, go over there with me. 2 Thessalonians, we'll wrap this up here. In chapter 1. So how does faith come? It comes by what? Hearing. Okay. Well, you know what's so cool about the day, the age in which we live? We, more than any other time that we live in. Now, when I was born, they had, you know, those, reel-to-reel. That's the first thing that came out. Then it was 8-tracks. Then it was cassettes. Then it was CDs. Nowadays, MP3s, MP4s, and probably things I don't even know about right now. But on a little device like this, on a phone like this, I can put thousands, not hundreds, thousands of sermons on this little thing right here. With an earphone going to these ears. And I can be cutting grass or walking, taking a walk. I can be in the mall or whatever. I can be driving along. And I can be downloading the Word of God into my ears, down into my spirit, producing faith for me. Oh, that's pretty awesome. If I'm weak in faith, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because God's given us every avenue that we possibly have, sermons after sermon, word after word. See, it's not just the sermon, it's the word that's in this. There's a lot of sermons that have no word in them. I grew up in a church like that. I grew up in a mainline denominational church, and I'm not criticizing them, it's just the facts. They taught more out of the Reader's Digest, and they would refer once in a while to the Bible. But there was no power. There was nobody being changed by the power of God. It was boring. I looked at my clock. I couldn't wait till it was over. I literally couldn't wait till it was over. My parents, they made us go, so we did, you know. But thank God that at least we were in church, you know. Well, I got saved in a Methodist youth camp. Thank God there was another group that preached the word to us. I never heard that before. I never heard about salvation, being born again. I never heard that before. But somebody shared it with me, and it changed my life. Amen? And once you've had a taste of the goodness of God and the word of God, what it will do for you, you're addicted. I said addicted. You know, addictions, they can be bad or they can be good. The Bible says in the book of Acts, it says they addicted themselves to the word and to the ministry of the saints. Amen? And one thing about an addiction, you got to have it. You got to have your fix. Well, let me tell you something. There's good addictions. You say, I got to have my word fixed this morning. Why? Because that's the thing that's going to set your course for the day. Before you walk into that shop in the morning, before you step foot in there, you'll have to have a little word time. So just start out where you're at. I'm not saying you have to spend hours or anything like that, but put some word, drive into work, put a tape in, put something on that's going to feed your spirit. Our tapes are free. You can have those. Amen? Or whoever you like to listen to, your favorite minister. But make sure it's faith that's coming across, someone that has a spirit of faith that wants to minister and will minister to you. But notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. Do you see that phrase there? And the love for every one of you towards each other aboundeth. Now, see the connection in verse 3 about their faith is growing exceedingly. And then it says, and their love for everyone aboundeth. You see, the Word of God, when it's going down inside your spirit and faith is coming to you, it will also stimulate inside your heart love for other people. Love for other people. And folks, that's the thing that separates us from the world. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. By what? By the love that you have one towards another. Okay? Just a thought. When we get the Word of God on the inside of us, and it's abounding on the inside of us, the love of God will increase. Amen? You know, there is such a thing as an unwholesome competition. We try to compete with people. You know, you've seen that, been there, grown up in school. There's a competition that's just an unhealthy thing, right? Trying to outdo someone else, trying to be better than them, you know. And that's the worldly side of it. But let me tell you something. There is a competition that I encourage you to jump in to the ring and get involved in this, and that is try to outlove one another. Try to outlove one another. I'm not talking about that ooey-gooey, you know, feely-touchy type thing. Let's have a group hug, that type of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what true love is. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. It doesn't get jealous. Love doesn't get jealous when someone else is blessed. Okay? But sometimes that happens. Love is ever ready to believe the best in every single person. And so he says that your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith groweth exceedingly. Well, for that to happen, they must have had some kind of word deposit going on the inside of them. Amen. We will close with this scripture and we'll pick it up next week. But go to Acts chapter 14. Acts the 14th chapter. Are you learning some things this morning? Thank you, Lord. I am so stirred up in my spirit. I can taste it. Whew. Thank you, Lord. So how does faith come? It comes by what?
Hearing.
All right. So when you leave the premises today, you leave this building today, I've done my part as far as I've given you the word about how your faith can increase and how your faith can develop. Did you know that when your faith increases, you are a lot less likely to yield to depression. Do you know that? When your faith is active, it gives you a vision for the things that you want in life, that you want to see. Okay? And it stimulates, it stirs you up because it's kind of like your neck outstretched. You're looking for that thing to show up. You're expecting it. Okay? That's the spirit of faith. You're expecting something good to happen any second. The spirit of faith. Well, notice here in Acts 14, I want to show you exactly what I'm talking about here. It says, and there, this is Paul and Barnabas, it says, there they preached the gospels. Notice this, they preached the what?
Gospels.
Okay, so they were preaching the word, weren't they? Now notice the next verse. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Say, never walked. There were no first steps for this guy. Okay? There was no party from the parents, say, our son just crawled, now he's walking. There was none of that. Never happened. Okay? It says that he was a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Verse 9, the same heard. Say heard.
Heard.
Now, how does faith come?
Hearing.
So, here's a guy that's crippled, lame from his mother's womb. Picture it like in this room. If Paul's up here preaching, he's in this room, he's lame, he's never walked a step in his life. But he's sitting in a meeting where the word is going forth. Good place to be. You see this? Verse 9, the same heard Paul what? Speak. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And steadfastly beholding him, perceived that he had faith to be healed. Now, isn't that interesting? Paul, being the preacher that he was, he perceived that this man had faith to be healed, but he's still crippled. A person can have faith in them and still be crippled. But I want you to see this, the progression right here. It says, he perceived. Paul was preaching, and this man was there. He had his eyes on him, but Paul had a spiritual perception. And you know, ministers can have spiritual perceptions. I can tell a lot of times, and I'm not saying anybody here, but in other congregations where I've preached, you can tell when someone's bored. You can tell when someone says, I've had enough, let me out of here, looking at your clock, so forth and so on. Are you with me? This wasn't happening. Paul perceived that this man had faith to be healed, but he's still crippled. And he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. Isn't that something? Okay. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Right? So here's a man that's crippled from his mother's womb. Wouldn't you say that's pretty severe? This guy had never walked before. But you know what? It pays to be in the right place at the right time. You can be crippled, broke, busted, disgusted, but if you're sitting under the word of God, that is your key for victory out of that situation.
Amen.
That's your key right there. Well, give me some faith first. No, hear the word first.
Yeah.
We'll see this next week because we're out of time here. But faith was, in other words, Paul was preaching something. What was he preaching? He was preaching the gospel, the good news. Mm. Now listen, if Paul was preaching that it's not God's will to heal, do you think this man would have had faith to be healed?
Yeah.
See, back in nowadays, if Paul was preaching this, they would say, oh, that guy's extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, extremely blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely healed.
Mm-hmm.
We eat by the fruit of our lips. If I preach healing, healing is going to be produced.
Mm-hmm.
If I preach God's blessing on you, the Bible says Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Gospel means good news. What's good news to a poor man? You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay broke and you know, barely have enough money to get through each month. That's not God's will. But if you hear some gospel and you hear good news, that can change your financial situation right there. Well, this man was crippled. He needed some good news. Paul had to have been preaching He had to have been preaching that Jesus heals, saves, and delivers, or this man would have never had faith to be healed. And while I'm on the subject, this could have been the first time that Paul, that this man ever heard a healing sermon. Which means this, you can get healed the first time you hear something. We've been misled sometimes thinking that you have to sit hour after hour after hour after hour. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But listen, you can hear something one time and get it and say, I believe that. And that choice is a little switch on the inside that says, I just believe that. I believe that. I've watched it through the years. I've seen people that were so brand spanking new, if you use the terminology, to these things. And I shared with them. Now, some, depending on their response, determines how the outcome will be a lot of times, because if you share something and they seem more bored than before you shared it, chances are they're not getting it. Did I say that wrong? Hey, I got good news for you today. Jesus came to take your sins and take your sicknesses, and by His stripes you're healed. Oh, what time's the Steeler game today? Oh, they're not playing today. Okay. You see what I'm saying? But Paul had a perception. And that guy was probably sitting there. Now, he couldn't walk, of course, at that point, but he's probably leaning forward. He's like, do you hear that? Do you hear what he's saying up there? He had a perception. There was something physical on him that when Paul was preaching, he had enough sense. He was dumb enough to believe the Word of God. And folks, we need to be just dumb enough to believe what God says. Forget about what I say or man says. It's what does God say? Because what He says can be backed up every single time. Amen. You can count on God. He's faithful. He cannot lie. That's right. What God says is true. So all you have to do today is just make a decision. I choose to believe God's Word. Oh, I choose to hang on. Get yourself one Scripture. That's all it takes is one Scripture. There's enough power in one verse of Scripture to blow the toes off the devil. Are you with me? One Scripture, it's all it takes. You take one, what about two? What will that do? Whew. Dear Lord. Glory, 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 glory to God. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, Father, thank you so much. I really sense in my spirit, like Paul had a perception, but I perceive in my spirit right now that the atmosphere right now is charged with faith. And that's the way it's supposed to be. This is not a hyped up psychological exercise here. We're talking about spiritual power that's inside your heart right now. This man leaped up and walked. He did something. And your faith right now will heal you even in your seat right now. Begin to do something in Jesus' name. I command healing to flow right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Healing, healing, flow, flow now. Into these that are here right now. Put your hands on yourself right now. Just lay your hands. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we release the anointing, that yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God right now. We release it into the bodies of those that are here at this day because they're precious to you, Father. And we command healing to come. We command sickness to go. We command depression to go. We command every infirmity to go right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, just begin to do something you couldn't do before. If you need to wiggle, move, do something you couldn't do before, by faith, you do it right now in Jesus' name. Receive your healing right now. Hallelujah. It belongs to you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, eternal life belongs, it's a free gift that belongs to you. You don't want to leave this earth without it. It's imperative to know on this earth that you have eternal life. That comes down to one thing today, and that is saying yes to Jesus. You believe that He died for you, that He was buried for you, and that He rose from the dead for you, just for you. Even if you're the only person on the earth, He still would have did it just for you. That's how much He cares and loves you. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, this is simply between you and the Lord. You say, Pastor, I want to receive this. And with your uplifted hand, no one's looking around except me and the Lord right here. This is between you and the Lord. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is something between you and the Lord. Would you lift your hand if you want to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior today? All right, thank you. All right, praise God. I saw some people lift their hands, but I want you to pray this out loud, okay? All of us together as a congregation, say this after me. Say, Dear Lord,
I believe
that You sent Your Son
to
die just for me.
I make a choice
and a decision,
this day
to make Jesus
my Lord
and my Savior.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Wash me.
In Your blood.
In Jesus' name.
I am now Yours.
I am Your child.
You're my very own Father.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And
I declare and I decree to you that today you are now a child of the living God. Heaven bound, filled with Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Now, Father, as we leave here today, we just bless each and every one here. Thank You for angels keeping us, protecting us all this week, guarding us, providing for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.